we're talking now about security and privacy once more, continuing with this theme, turning to cybersecurity. Throughout the U.S. election, there were allegations that Russia was hacking the Democrats and interfering with the American democracy and actual election. And while it sounds very surreal, as a country, we should definitely take our cybersecurity very seriously. Professor Greg Austin from the Australian Centre for Cybersecurity at the University of New South Wales joins me now to discuss this issue. Thank you for joining us, Greg.
Good morning, Sam.
So, Greg, how has Australia and other nations responded to these allegations and the future threat of interference?
Well, it's a good question because the even though the United States government is having this internal debate right now about whether the intelligence agencies were correct in their assessment, whether the hacking can be attributed to Russia, and whether the intent of the Russian government was to favor Donald Trump or just interfere, there's a big debate going on, and it's affected the legitimacy of the relationship between President Trump and the CIA. But other countries have also sat up and taken note. So, for example, the British Parliament, the relevant committee, has launched a new inquiry into the country's cybersecurity, even though the government only just recently announced, well, over a year ago, announced a new five-year strategy. The French defense minister has weighed in and said that the Russian cyber activity poses a threat to French democracy. So France and Britain are actively responding to these allegations. And so it's reasonable to ask the question whether Australia should react and what does it mean for us?
Now, just looking at this, you said it's not clear whether they, you know, were doing it or not, but what might have been a motivation for Russia to do something like this?
Well, my personal view is that there's a 99.9% certainty that the Russian government hacked the Democratic National Committee. That's what their intelligence services are paid to do. In addition, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party had been launching a democratization, or had been undertaking a democratization and human rights campaign in Russia for almost 20 years, which, almost 15 years, before the Russian government got very tired of it and declared both organizations undesirable and closed their offices in the country. So the Russian government itself has targeted the Democratic Party and the Republican Party in the United States as among its chief political enemies. So not only is it the job of the Russian intelligence services to track and spy on leading political figures in foreign countries such as the leaders of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, but the Russian government had specifically targeted these organizations as among its leading political enemies. So I think it's highly likely that they were doing it, and the motivation would have been part payback and part escalation and threat to say to the United States government, if they continue to interfere in Russian domestic politics, then Russia will escalate its interference in American domestic politics.
So thinking back on Australia, is Australia at all equipped to handle any potential cybersecurity threat of this magnitude?
Well, that's a big question. The situation in the United States is quite interesting. Donald Trump said the Democratic Party was hacked because they had bad cybersecurity, and the Republican Party wasn't hacked because they had good cybersecurity. So that raises the question of what sort of cybersecurity Australia's political parties have. You know, does the Australian Labor Party have a computer security officer who looks after it? Are all of the Australian politicians in the Labor Party schooled in how to protect their most secret information when they write emails to their political colleagues? Could we see a situation like that which happened in the United States, where the emails of John Podesta, who was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, could see those all over the front pages of not only American newspapers, but world newspapers? So it's not too much to contemplate whether at some point we're going to see the private emails of Penny Wong or Richard Di Natale or Bill Shorten all over the pages of some newspapers when some foreign government takes a big dislike to them for some reason.
And have there actually been any incidents like this in Australia, or any evidence of particular possibilities of this kind of threat?
Well, none come to mind, but the trails on this sort of stuff can be quite murky. And the United States political system is quite open, so you get lots of leaking about who's doing what. So even if the Australian government discovered that a foreign government was interfering in the political, the email traffic or the cyber systems of an Australian political party for the purposes of launching some sort of political influencing campaign, the Australian government wouldn't announce that. So I think we know far less about what's happening in Australia. I think the US experience through this last campaign with the Russian hacking shows how difficult it is, even for the most advanced and wealthiest cyber power in the world, to track or even detect this sort of political influencing. And if it's very tough for the United States to do it in a way that's credible and to prevent it, then we really do have to ask the question, what can other countries like Britain, France, or Australia do? We really should be asking now, what is the evidence of possible political influencing through cyber espionage by foreign governments in Australia?
All right. Well, thank you so much, Greg, for joining us this morning to speak about it.
You're welcome, Sam. Bye.